want to show you another verse now. It's, you know, that is in 1 John and chapter 4, the first epistle of John in chapter 4. First epistle of John, chapter 4, and verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. So I learned something from that. That if I want to love Jesus Christ, I have to understand how much he loved me first. See that word because. It's like when you study chemistry, something happens because you did this. You mix two chemicals together and a reaction took place because of that. So here it is. We love him because he first loved us. So if you don't meditate on how much Jesus loved you, you will not be able to love him. And if you don't love him, you will not be able to grow spiritually. So that's the other thing. You must meditate on how much Jesus loved you. And I'll tell you, I used to meditate a lot on the cross. Because I used to think of not just the nails and, I mean, that you can meditate on the crown of thorns. Oh, he suffered so much for me. But I used to sometimes think of that and all, but and it didn't really make me love Jesus. But when I really understood another thing, not the first 3 hours on the cross, but the last 3 hours on the cross, you know what happened in the last 3 hours on the cross? That's the time when he took our sins, the punishment for our sin. Not in the first 3 hours. The 6 hours that Jesus hung on the cross, 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock in the morning, he was not bearing our sins then. But from 12 to 3 in the afternoon, he was bearing the punishment for our sin. Why do I say that? Because that's the time when the whole world became dark. And Jesus cried out at 12 noon, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did God forsake him? He didn't say that at 9 o'clock in the morning when he was crucified. He said that at 12 noon. Because that time, my sin was placed on his head. And when sin, God sees sin on anyone, he forsakes him. Because God and sin cannot go together. Remember this. However much God loves you, God and sin cannot go together. And the proof of that is on Calvary's cross. God loved his son, but he forsook him when there was sin on him. Not his sin, my sin. Your sin. God cut him off. And for 3 hours on the cross, Jesus experienced hell. Hell is not just a physical place that will happen finally, but it is being forsaken by God. That is hell. So in his spirit, Jesus experienced hell during those 3 hours. And none of us will ever know how terrible that is. There's no suffering, no sickness, no imprisonment, no beating. Nothing can compare with the agony of hell. Of being forsaken by God. In fact, Jesus, we can say, lost his senses there. Yeah, I say that. Because otherwise he would not have asked why. Never in his entire 33 years did he ask God why. He always knew why. Because his mind was perfect. I could answer that question. God, why have you forsaken Jesus? Because of Jacqueline and sin. Because of your sin. Because of the sin of the world. But I know it. How is it Jesus did not know it when he hung on the cross? Was he more foolish than me? No, because he was in hell. And in hell, your mind doesn't work. And when you're in hell, you don't even know why you're being forsaken. And you don't call God Father there. No. All his life, he called God Father, 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 Father. Suddenly he says, my God, at 9 o'clock he said, Father, Father, forgive them their sins, so they don't know what they're doing. But at 12 o'clock he didn't call him Father. He called him God, because my sin was there, your sin was there. and he experienced hell. And in hell, your mind doesn't work properly. That's why he's asking a question. He's asking a question to which I can give an answer. Jesus, Lord, it's because of my sin you're being forsaken. But his mind didn't work. He didn't know the answer to that question. Because he was bearing your sin. He was experiencing hell. And in hell, your mind doesn't work. God has cut you off. And for 3 hours, we will never know on this earth how much he suffered. And it was because of you and me. When you see that, you will learn to hate sin. You can't hate sin by hearing a lot of preaching in the church. You must hate sin. You mustn't tell lies. You mustn't lust with your mind. And so many things. You mustn't lose your temper. You can hear all those things and you will still sin. But when you see one day, like I saw, that Jesus experienced hell on the cross for my sin, it changed my attitude to sin completely. I'm not saying I got complete victory overnight, but I started climbing that mountain of victory little by little by little by little. Sin after sin could overcome. I could overcome. It started with, we love him because he first loved us. How much did he love us? Enough to go to hell to save him. He need not have gone to the cross. He could have gone up to heaven and we would have all gone to hell. But he went to the cross only so that we might never be forsaken. And when I realized that, you know, God gave me a picture those days in my mind. I like to think of pictures like Jesus used parables. I used to use pictures in my mind when I read the Bible. And one picture I got is only a parable of how Jesus saved me. I pictured myself crossing a busy road and I didn't see a big truck coming full speed down the road. I didn't see it. And I was crossing the road and that truck was going to run me over. But somebody from behind came and pushed me out of the way and my life was saved. But that poor man got run over himself and his legs were crushed and broken under by that truck. I was saved. I saw that as a picture of how Jesus suffered to save me. And I see this man now with his legs all cut off, amputated, and he's lying in a hospital. And I go to see him. I go to see this man who risked his life and lost his legs to save me from death. What do you think I'll tell him? What do you tell him? I thought, what would I tell this man? Would I say, thank you very much, see you later? Definitely not. I'd say a lot more than that. I'd say, listen, my brother, I don't know how to repay you for losing your legs for my sake. I would be dead today under that truck if you hadn't pushed me out of the way. But I want to tell you something. There are many things you cannot do now because you don't have legs. I want to be your legs for you. I can't be with you all the time. I have to work and earn my living. But let me give you my promise. I would tell that man. If ever in your life, even if you live for another 50 years, if ever at any time in your life you have a need, you want to do something and you can't do it because you don't have legs, just give me a call. And even if I'm doing the most important thing in the world, I'll drop it and do what I can for you. What you cannot do for yourself. Don't you think I would say that? Don't you think you would say that? To express your gratitude to such a man? That's the way I pictured it. So now transfer that into Jesus. He not only got his leg broken, he died. How shall I go and respond to him now? They say, oh, thank you, Lord, for dying for me. I'm going to live my own life now. No. What will I say to that man? Anytime in your life, if you ever have a need, call on me. I'll come. And I said that to the Lord. Lord, I'm not coming to you to go to heaven. I'm prepared to go to hell if you are there. I only want to be with you. My desire is not to go to heaven. My desire is to be with Jesus. And I said, Lord, you can call me anytime to do anything. You tell me to give up something, I'll give it up immediately. You tell me not to do something, I'll really stop doing it. Give me the power and I'll stop doing it. Something I greatly desire to do, I will not do if you tell me not to do it. I'm not just talking about sinful things. There are a lot of things in the world which are not sinful, which God does not permit me to do. They're quite okay things. They're not sinful, but they're not in God's plan for my life. I'll give you an example. Supposing Jesus, after a year of heavy preaching, traveling, tired, he thinks, let me take a holiday and go to Rome. I like to see Italy. Tourists go to Italy and see Rome. Is there anything sinful on going on a tourist holiday to Rome? Absolutely nothing. If Jesus went to Rome, he would have lived a holy life there, just like he lived in Israel. But if that was not in the Father's plan for him during those 33 and a half years he lived on the earth, he would say, Lord, however much I may love to go to Rome, I like to see the sights, I like to be a tourist and see different places, like a lot of people go as tourists, I will not go if it is not your will. That's got nothing to do with sin. Say, I won't go. However much my flesh may say, don't you like to be a tourist and go and see places? Well, Father, I want to know your will. See, doing God's will is not just giving up sin. It's giving up our own plans. What we like to do.